James. He tells it like it is. He suffers no fools, which include you and me. Matter of fact, why don't we do this? Why don't we just rip out James chapter 3 and move on to other things? We can't do that. Hopefully, when you came into the room, you received one of these, a clothespin. If you didn't, it would help you to understand the remaining part of our worship together if you had one. So if you just want to get up, go to the back. There are ushers back there. There should be plenty of clothespins there if you didn't get one. If you want to just pretend, you can just use these, the thumb and the index finger, a little bit later to act as that clothespin. But for most of us, hopefully you got a clothespin when you came into the room. And I'd like you to just take something. Maybe you got a pen in hand. Maybe it's just the pencil there in front of you. Anything that you could write with. And just right across the front here. Oh, and by the way, this is a clothespin. Okay. Do you know what you do with these? This isn't a someone said this is a clipboard. No, this is not a clipboard. This is a clothespin that you use, or you used to use once upon a time when you were hanging out laundry. You had a clothesline and you use a clothespin to make sure that the shirt or the pants, whatever it was, the towels, the sheets, that they would stay affixed to the line. That's why this is called a clothespin. So for those of you that had never seen one, wondered what it is, now you know. But take something to write with and just write across the front part here. Actually, you got two writing surfaces. Write James 3. Write it here. I turned around. I wrote it on the other side. So every time I look at this clothespin, it's going to remind me of the theme of James chapter 3, which is a big part of this book, which is only 2,300 words. I'm calling it 23 words about faith. That's what the book of James is. But he spends most of his time talking about what we find in James 3, the tongue, taming the tongue, dealing with our tongue. That being the words that we speak, the conversations that we take up. James mentions the tongue throughout the biggest portion of James chapter 3. That's what we're going to read this morning. But if you study carefully, you will see that every single chapter, he says something about our tongues. He says something about the words that we speak. I think there's a big lesson there. Because when you think about it, the tongue is the part of our bodies that has no mind of its own. It has no bone on which to build itself. It's just a very tiny, flimsy muscle. But yet, it does so much. That's why James spends most of his time. You think of James and think he's talking about faith and works, and he does. But he spends most of his time, most of these 2,300 words, deal with our tongue. We want to simply walk through this passage because I don't want you to think that I'm making anything up or that I'm trying to point fingers at any single person or persons in this room, because I'm not. But the taming of the tongue has got to be first and foremost on the mind of a Christian if they're serious about their commitment and their walk with God. As I look at it, I see James making it very simple for us. He talks about the fact that the tongue has power. And in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 3 of James, he talks about the fact that the tongue has the power to direct the way our life goes. James chapter 3, verse 3. God's word says, "Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot or the captain desires." What has James just told us? He's just told us that this little muscle right here, the tongue, has the power to give direction, to steer the course of one's life. And he picks two very obvious illustrations to prove his point. The first one, the bit that goes in a horse's mouth. If you were to judge just by looking at the size of a horse's bit, and you know what I'm talking about, it's that piece of metal that goes across and it has, the reins are tied to it, and you stick it in the, between the horses, in the horse's mouth, between his teeth, and that single bit, when used by the rider, can direct the horse. But the size of the bit compared to the size of the horse is ridiculous. The horse weighs much more. The horse takes up much more space in the world than a horse's bit. But yet, the bit is what determines the direction the horse goes. So it is with the second. Very, very simple, but yet profound and easy to understand illustration. The rudder on a boat, on a ship. The boat, in comparison to the rudder, there's no comparison. The boat, the ship, the canoe, whatever the case may be, is huge compared to the very small rudder. But it's the rudder, whenever the captain, the person steering the boat is inclined, uses a very small rudder to determine what? The direction that the ship goes. Now you notice what James has told us is when he says the tongue has the power to direct, it can be a good direction or it can be a wrong or a bad direction. That's how powerful the tongue is. So the tongue, our words, have the power to direct a conversation and to change hearts, to move in a direction that would honor God, or that same muscle, that same tongue, has the power to lead in a wrong direction. Verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. He talks about the tongue having not the power just to direct, but the power to destroy. Listen to what God's word says. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, it is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. He said in the first place, the tongue has the power to direct, just like the horse's bit or the ship's rudder. But then he says the power of the tongue also can be used simply to destroy. And he uses, once again, two very simple illustrations. One is a very small flame can set afire an entire forest. And we've seen that. We've seen the devastation of fires that are started with what? The tossing of a cigarette out of an automobile or a campfire that wasn't completely drowned out and put out and extinguished properly. And the destruction of property and of human life. You know, James says the tongue destroys, if we so choose to use it that way. And notice he keeps talking about taming the tongue. But he says it can't be ever done, or at least tamed completely. That second brief illustration is the wild beasts. I mean, you name them. He says every species of animal, of birds, of reptiles, of creatures, we can control, we can tame. You've seen that. Maybe you have pets that you have worked with and you have gotten to where they will obey your every command or most of your commands. He said, not so the tongue. A But let's take the clothespin test. I promise you, I'm going to ask for some help from people in this room, and I'm not picking you for any reason other than I just thought of you. Peter Richards, would you come up and bring your clothespin? Peter Richards, Ray Sheehan, Cindy Taylor, T.K. Brown, Jordan Mears. Is Jordan, did I see Jordan? Jordan, would you bring your clothespin, please? Caroline Wade, are you here? Bring your clothespin, please. If y'all would just line up here on either side of me, keep your distance. TK? Last one here. All right. Taming the tongue. I want you to take, and you have to do this too. They're just helping you. So everyone take your clothespin right now. And let's see what it feels like. Let's take it and let's put it right here, right between that little fleshy part, between your thumb and your forefinger. No big deal, right? Everybody okay? Y'all okay? All right. Feel good? Okay. All right. Let's take it now and let's put it right there, or I'll choose my little finger and just put it there going across here. Everybody okay? No squealing, no yelling, no pain yet. Okay. All right. Let's take it now and let's make an ear bob out of it right here. Okay. Okay. All right. Come on, go ahead. Just kind of take a deep breath if this is too much for you. All right. You like the look? Okay. All right. Okay, let's take it now. Now, this is a little bit tricky, but let's take it and put it right here on your lip. Remember, this is your clothespin. Okay. Doesn't go to anybody else. Okay, everybody okay? No? You're just a wimp if you're not okay. All right, now, take it out. Remember, this is your clothespin. Let's do what we need to do. Okay, let's give these folks a hand for helping us. Remember, this is your clothespin. Put it in a safe place. I hope you wrote James 3 on it. It hurt, didn't it? See, that, you know, this didn't hurt. This didn't hurt. This really, I could have gone all day. But this? No. That's what we need to understand about the power of this little boneless muscle that has no mind of its own, but yet causes the direction of one's life, that can destroy one's reputation just like that. The tongue has also the power to delight. And notice, these are three words that all begin with the same letter D, easy to remember. The tongue, the power to direct. The tongue, the power to destroy. The tongue has the power to delight. With it, James chapter 3, verse 9 says, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig, my brothers, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. What's his point here? His point here is that without even realizing it, we literally talk out of the both sides of our mouth. And he says, that can't be. If this is the way you lead your life, he says you need to think again, because you use your tongue, what? You use it on one hand to bless, and the next moment you use it to curse. Out of the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. And he says it shouldn't be this way. And then he just gets real basic with us here. And he says, a fountain cannot send out both bitter and fresh water. Correct? No. Can a fig tree, my brothers, produce olives? All of these questions, he anticipates his answer. And that is no. He says, then why do you allow your tongue? Why do you allow the words? Why do you allow your speech to do the very opposite? Why do you let it do the impossible? Because, my friends, here's his point. The tongue must have constant supervision. This is one of those issues where James is trying to tell us that sometimes you train a, quote, a wild animal, and you can make them obey you, but you must always be wary of them. You seen the news last night? Some lady called 911 somewhere and said, I've got a boa constrictor all the way around my neck. Turned out she had several pet boa constrictors. And what happened? You think that you can tame something, but if you're not watching it moment by moment, you never know when the unexpected danger is in front of you. And James says, so it is right here. That's why that clothespin, as a reminder, hurting, the pain, is reminding us that what? That the tongue cannot be left alone. The tongue must be given constant attention. See, that's why he says no one can tame it. It can't be tamed, but it can be controlled for the most part. To think that we will never abuse the use of our tongue, we lie to ourselves. That's what he's saying. In the meantime, we must be very diligent to keep an eye, to tame, to watch our speech. So I'll leave you with some what I call tongue tamers. Here are just some things to remember that maybe can help you and me, because we all stumble here, can help us to keep a better eye, to keep a better pulse on what we say and how we act with our speech. More relationships are broken by what is said than what is done. That's just something, that's a guideline, that's just a statistical analysis that I think can be proven. That more relationships are broken, not by what someone does. Now, that's not good. That doesn't help things. That can certainly precipitate a break in a relationship. But most of the time, it begins by what you and I say. You think about it. Have you ever been in a church that's just in turmoil? Churches go through times of turmoil in seasons of their life as a church. There's no getting around that. But have you ever noticed what that turmoil really is based upon? What's said. That may follow up with what someone does, but it's basically what is said. If you suffered a broken relationship, family-wise, whatever the case may be, work-wise, friend-wise, you can go back through and try to trace where the break happened, where it began, and more times than not, it's where? It's by what was said. So just keep in mind that since James says we can't tame the tongue completely, we've got to keep an eye on it. We have to watch over it every single day and every single moment that we live. We need to remember that most of the damage is done by what we say, not by what we do. I'm not excusing your actions. Please don't misunderstand me. As long as you don't say something, go ahead and be as mean as you want. No. But just keep in mind that it begins by what is said. Then here's the question. Do your words affirm or condemn? Remember, if you go back to the tongue has the power to direct. The tongue has the power to destroy, to delight. Your words, when they're spoken, do they send a relationship in the right direction, or is it an attempt to destroy it? A fist. The reach of a fist is what? About 3 feet. But the tongue can reach the ends of the earth. Likewise, on the other side of the equation, a hand that holds a cup of cold water has an extension of about what? 3 feet. But thanks to a digital world, we can now tell the gospel of Jesus to the far ends of the earth. See, what are your words? What do they say? Do they condemn or do they affirm? Be careful with social media. When I say social media, I'm not really sure what I'm talking about. I think it has something to do with email, texting, Insta, thank you, Facebook. It's all those means of communication. Twitter. Beware of those things, because those things are the vehicle of conveying what the tongue says. Have you ever misused one of those conveniences of living today that we call social media? Have you ever said things in an email that you would never say to someone's face because you hide behind that supposed invisible barrier, but it's not? Have you ever taken a tube of toothpaste and squeezed out too much, tried to put the rest of it back in the tube? Can't be done. And nor can our words, audibly spoken, recorded, or transmitted through electronic messaging. Be careful with it. Because I think social media has made it to where the taming of the tongue, if James were writing today, he would say, I hope he wouldn't say, just give up. But I think he'd say, I would have had no idea that you people in your decade, in your life, in your century, in your part of God's history, would face these easy ways to abuse the tongue. Be careful when you speak for God. What do I mean by that? Well, I understand the nature of prayer requests are supposed to be uplifting. It's supposed to help people. It's supposed to undergird people. The Bible says pray for one another. But it doesn't say when you're sharing prayer requests in your Bible study group that you turn it into a means to spread gossip. Because I think, once again, it's because I've been in those situations before where I've crossed the line, and what I wanted to be a sincere request for prayer, really when I looked at it and backed away from it, was nothing more than just trying to get people to look at a person in a way that I looked at them. Be careful when you speak for God, especially in the life of a church. A church that has decisions to make, a church where we're trying to seek God's will to move forward. And I understand it when people will say, well, I've prayed about this and I've really read the Bible about this. And what they're really saying is, if you disagree with me, you're disagreeing with God. And that isn't the case every time. Sometimes it might be. Sometimes it may be someone giving us advice that helps us to understand the direction we need to go in order to fulfill God's will. But other times, maybe we need to understand and know that we may not have a corner on God's will. And so for us to use our tongues, once again, for us to use our speech to what? To do really nothing more than put people in a corner or label them? Be careful. Several times in my 44 years of doing what I do. People have used God's voice and have told me they got up and God told them this. And the best thing I knew to do was what I've done. And I'll just say, well, that's funny because I got up and God told me the very opposite. I didn't mean that in a sarcastic way. 2,300 words of faith. Every single chapter and every single verse of this third chapter talking about this. You see, tongue problems are heart problems, aren't they? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my God, and my Redeemer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to share words of encouragement with one another. And Father, I thank you for James. Many times I don't appreciate him as much as I ought. Many times it's because he doesn't make things easy. And that's the way it should be. So Father, help me to tame my tongue, knowing that I've got to watch it every moment, never knowing what's going to come out as a result. And Father, help us to be quick to acknowledge and quick to forgive, to give one another the benefit of the doubt. Help our tongues be those things that will help direct people in the right way, to delight people, delight you, to honor you. These things I pray in the name of Christ Jesus the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. We wrap up this hour the way we always do, with a time of commitment, a time of invitation. We're going to sing a song of commitment in just a moment. There are going to be ministers and deacons standing across the front here. There are some choices that need to be made before the congregation and so before the world. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ Jesus into your life as your Savior, then I would implore you to think through that decision, knowing that we can't make it for you. It's an individual choice. It's not just a prayer one prays, but that prayer, if it comes from the heart, is stepping across a line of faith. And I know that from what Stephen told us, the odds are so against those people living in Europe and France. And in a land where we have so much to be thankful for and freedoms, and it seems like churches are on every corner, we still face the same issues. And as long as there is a power of evil and sin and darkness in this world, and there is, the odds are against us as well. But are they? Through the power of the cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit working within us, that's all we need. So that's the invitation, to grab hold of the one who created us, the one who died that we might live. If you know the Lord, just hadn't told anyone, come tell us. If you hadn't followed him in believer's baptism like McKenna did earlier in this hour, let's talk about that. It's an important step of faith, a symbol of what Christ has done for us. If you need a church to call your own, here we are. Like I said, churches everywhere, great churches. You got to find the one where you can serve. So we offer our congregation. How do you join? You come forward. But then for most of us, it's just right here. It's not pleasant, is it? But it's needful. So whatever this means for you, walk out of here praying that your tongue would honor God. If you need someone to pray for you, Sandy and Ray will be standing here. They're here every Sunday. They believe in prayer. And if that's what the need of your life is, we offer it. So let's stand, let's sing, let's respond. You move forward as God leads.